Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Happy Friday. Today we've got some confirmation from Tesla on the progress of 4680 batteries. We also have a new patent on castings, a rumor on Tesla and Uber, a little bit of analysis on recalls, a stock split for SpaceX, and a couple other things as well. Not the most exciting day in the markets again. Tesla down 2.2% to $856.98, while the NASDAQ was down 1.2%. We're now halfway through the quarter. Things feel a little bit boring right now, I would say, in terms of Tesla specifically. Obviously, there's a lot going on from a macro perspective, but we're in one of those waiting periods for Tesla, waiting for Gigafactory news, for first quarter results, and I think the volume in general has reflected that, continued to be low again this week. We do have a bit of an update on interest rates here. The Wall Street Journal reporting on comments made by Federal Reserve President for New York, John Williams. His comments are tempering expectations for an even larger potential rate increase in March. He said, quote, "There's really no kind of compelling argument that you have to be faster right in the beginning. There's no need to do something extra at the beginning of the process of liftoff. We can steadily move up interest rates and reassess. I don't feel a need that we'd have to move really fast at the beginning," end quote. Well, I don't know that I would fully agree that there is no kind of compelling argument. I mean, the Fed has been, I think, pretty clear that inflation has been ahead of what they would have expected. If one of the tools to combat that is raising interest rates, it's pretty easy to make an argument that that should have happened sooner. Since it didn't, there would seem to be a pretty reasonable argument that that should happen then more quickly. And if the timing doesn't matter, then why ever do it? So I don't know that I follow the logic on that. I'm not saying I'm either for or against a more quick increase, but just kind of caught me as a little bit strange. Anyway, that should lower expectations for a 50 basis point increase for March. All right, getting into Tesla news then, we've got an update directly from Tesla on 4680 progress. Tesla on their Twitter page today posting, "Celebrating our 1 millionth 4680 cell in January." So you may remember a few days ago, we talked about the 4680 rumor that we had seen appear on Tesla Motors Club forum that had discussed yields on 4680 manufacturing, but there was also a rumor attached to that that said there were 1 million cells completed sitting in a warehouse waiting to be put into Model Ys. That yield document had the date of January 2nd, so that would be right around this time, which I think increases the probability that that is accurate as well, which did already seem likely. Now, one thing we don't know from that was pointed out in the comments from that episode, I don't know if the yield here would be sort of all-in end-to-end yield, or if this would just be one set of processes that they're counting the yield for. Obviously, if you only have 92% yield in a few different steps, your total yield can decline pretty quickly. So it is worth keeping that in mind. But getting back to the 1 million 4680 cells, remember, like we talked about, one of Tesla's renders for the 4680 pack had indicated about 960 cells per pack. So a million cells would only be enough for a little over 1,000 vehicles and probably in that, I don't know, 85 megawatt hour ballpark, which would be quite low in terms of the 10 gigawatt hour annual capacity Tesla feels that they can eventually get out of that pilot plant. So not a lot of production. What we hope is that Tesla has figured out yields and that has allowed them to then start ramping up the pace of production. We did hear from Galley of Hyperchange that he heard that in January, Tesla produced as many cells as they had for the entirety of Q4. That'd be a tripling in production rate. That's pretty good. Of course, we don't know what the base from Q4 was. But again, if we go back to that leaked document, it looked like there were 6,200 or so successful cells. That'd be about 187,000 over the course of a month. I think that might be in the ballpark of fitting with that rumor from Galley. Probably a little bit low. If January were 187,000, then Q4, let's say, was 90,000. If the previous quarters were in that 90,000 ballpark, or obviously a little bit lower, it would have taken 8 quarters of production to then get up to a million from all of that combined. That would be Q3 2019. We know that Tesla had battery day in Q3 2020, but battery day had been postponed a few times. Tesla at that point already had vehicles running around. So those numbers aren't completely implausible, but again, I think it's probably a little bit low. I think 250,000, 300,000 cells in January probably fits Tesla's trajectory more accurately with that rumor. Now, why are we doing all that math? Well, it is kind of important because if they did 300,000 in January, that's 900,000 per quarter, or basically what Tesla had built in a year and a half, 2 years in just a quarter, and they're just coming off a tripling of production. And we know what Elon and Tesla have to say about S-curves. That looks like the start of the uptrend, the hard uptrend of the S-curve. Now, that's probably still at a point that it's going to feel low in Q1 and probably feel low in Q2 as well. But if that kind of rate of progress can continue, then I think you're looking pretty good for the second half of the year, talking tens of thousands of vehicles in that time period. So based on this information, I still think it's going to feel slow and a little bit painful here for, you know, a few more months. After that, it'll start to be exciting. And then at a certain point, you bring on the 4680 production from Giga Texas, that's probably when we start to see the next true leg of what Tesla is going to do. I would equate that moment to kind of what we've seen here with Giga Shanghai in 2021, where those production numbers just kind of keep coming in higher and higher above what people thought the capacity for that plant was. The further ahead we can kind of see that coming, probably the longer it feels like it's going to take to get there. But Tesla will get there, and it will seem very sudden when they do. All right, next up today, we've got a new casting patent from Tesla. This was published about a week ago, but I think just discovered today. I think Tasmanian picking up on this, so circulating around the news, and I think getting some excitement because the patent describes a, quote, single unified casting and shows a picture of the entire body of the car. So I think some people thinking this is for Tesla casting the entire body, but you look closely, you can see that the front and the rear portions are shaded a little bit more darkly. And the patent actually says that each front and back casting is a single unified casting that makes up the integrated energy absorbing system. So nothing too crazy there. This is just describing what we already know that Tesla is doing. Single piece front casting, single piece rear casting. So two pieces that are both their own single piece. So I think some of the articles have been a little bit confusing. So I just wanted to clarify on that. Now Tesla does mention in the patent description that this could be part of a larger monolithic casting. So maybe hinting at a larger casting vision, as Tesla has done in the past. I think Elon has talked about that, and we have seen in a previous casting filing, this one's back from 2019, which Tesla described in part by saying, quote, such casting machines may reduce a number of casting machines or actual castings required to cast a complete or substantially complete vehicle frame, end quote. So I don't think anything really in this patent too different than what Tesla has mentioned previously, but wanted to walk through it nonetheless. All right, next, just wanted to briefly share my thoughts on a rumor on Twitter. So this has gotten some attention. This is from the Kilowatt saying, quote, just got a ride in a Uber owned by Tesla. Yes, you read that right. My Uber driver told me that the Model 3 he is driving isn't his or owned by Hertz, but rather a pilot program being run by Tesla with a small number of highly ranked Uber drivers in California, end quote. Kilowatt says, obviously, take this with a grain of salt. One of us could have been mistaken, but I was asking pretty direct questions about who owned the car and who was paying the bill for it. Apparently, he only pays for supercharging, and Tesla is providing the car free of charge for now. Yeah, I think you all know what I'm going to say on this one. I don't believe this. I mean, I believe the story, but I don't think this is what the scenario is. I think probably the Uber driver's confused here or just poorly explaining something. Tesla is very heavily supply constrained. They're not just going to give cars to people and let them drive them around for free. The only way that could make sense is for, I guess, some sort of data collection purposes, but Tesla already has a fleet that's doing that for them. And this person is using Uber, so it's not like they're even using some sort of Tesla network testing tool. It just doesn't really make sense. Plus, if Tesla were testing out Tesla network stuff, how would they have the data to access to know who the really good Uber drivers are? Only Uber would have that data, unless Tesla recruited Uber drivers with good ratings, in which case other people would have talked about this by now. So it doesn't make sense. Plus, Uber and Hertz have a partnership where they'll rent out Teslas specifically for this purpose. So I think this Uber driver is probably just confused or poorly explaining. That's very much the simplest explanation. Unless we hear a few other reports on this, I don't think it's worth spending much time thinking about. All right, next I want to briefly talk about recalls. No new recalls that I'm aware of, but Reuters did have a pretty good analysis of the recall situation today. And particularly, they shared one chart that I thought was pretty helpful to look at. So they tracked all recalls since the beginning of 2020 through yesterday. You can see how common these are for other automakers, even though we don't quite hear as much about them. Ford and GM, for example, 177 recalls in that period of time. That's more than one every week on average. Tesla, on the other hand, had a total of 19. Now, to be fair, Tesla does have way, way fewer vehicles on the road, and the average age of those vehicles quite a bit lower. So Tesla should have significantly fewer recalls. Still, I think it's helpful to see that as context. And what Reuters is talking about here was Tesla's ability to fix some of these things over the air. So of the 19 from Tesla, 7 have been fixed over the air, versus for other automakers, only 3 out of the 446 that they tracked were able to be resolved over the air. Now, again, part of that is because Tesla is doing things with their software that NHTSA doesn't like, and then they just have to roll those things back. But it does highlight Tesla both pushing the envelope as well as their adaptability. All right, next up, we've got a stock split update, not for Tesla, but for SpaceX. SpaceX is doing a 10-for-1 stock split, according to CNBC, which obtained an email explaining that to SpaceX employees, which, with SpaceX being a private company, would seem to be the leading reason to split the stock. So just a reminder that, yes, SpaceX's management, Tesla's management, they're going to be aware of how to handle this for employees and split the stock when they think the time is right. So SpaceX previously had raised at a $560 share price. That'd be $56 now, but TBD what the next round would be at. So if anything, I think a good indication that Tesla will eventually split again, but I think that was probably a pretty foregone conclusion. I continue to be pretty neutral on that. When it happens, sure, I'll be happy about that, but probably better to do it in a position of strength. Those that are extremely excited about a stock split should probably take a look at what Alphabet has done. So they announced that 20-for-1 stock split on February 1st. Stock is down 5.5% since then, even though they also beat earnings that day. And the NASDAQ is also down 5.5% over that period of time. So stock split hasn't really done much of anything for them yet. Maybe it's helped a bit. Probably will help later on when it does actually split, but it's certainly not the be-all end-all of making a successful investment over a short period of time. All right, next up, we've got a quick rumor on Ford. So Bloomberg today reporting that CEO Jim Farley wants to isolate out the electric vehicle business from the internal combustion engine business, and quote, has even considered spinning off one or the other, people familiar with the effort said, end quote. Ford stock seemed to jump a little bit today on these rumors, so it seems like the market would be interested in that. I think managing them as different businesses definitely has merit, but at the same time, then you got to start breaking out the electric vehicle finances individually, and people might realize that even a business like Ford's that I'm not going to say is fully at scale yet, but at least has some scale to it, unlike Lucid or Rivian, which are really just entirely based on what might happen in the future. If Ford were to spin off the EV business, you could see what is happening right now, and I'm not sure that that is such a pretty picture in terms of profitability. If I were Rivian or Lucid, I would probably not want Ford to disclose that. Ford did respond to the story by email saying that they have no plans to spin off their battery EV business or their traditional ICE business. All right, next up here, I just wanted to kind of share a thought that I have been pondering on in relation to the EV Hummer. So the all-electric Hummer, 9,000 pounds, as we had talked about. What's interesting to me that I hadn't really thought about previously is that this is the first vehicle on the Ultium platform. So this is the next generation platform for electric vehicles for GM. We talked about this when they went through it at their EV day a long time ago. At the time, I shared why I wasn't particularly impressed with what they had presented, and now we're seeing it in the Hummer, and I think it's hard to argue that that is overall very impressive. I mean, extremely heavy, tons of batteries for not much range, and if the Car and Driver report is accurate, which had said that there were only 212 kilowatt hours of usable capacity versus 247 kilowatt hours of total battery capacity, that seems like a pretty poor ratio if that does carry over to other vehicles on the Ultium platform. So it's not looking great for GM from an efficiency standpoint, from an energy density standpoint, with how heavy this vehicle is. Obviously, we'll have to wait and see it in a more normal form factor, but first glance here, it's hard to say that that's looking very good for Ultium. All right, last item on the list is an update on the Boring Company. As we have been talking about, they've been looking at a project in Miami. They have officially submitted a proposal, and Business Insider today revealing some of the details in that proposal. The proposal would be for a 6.2-mile system running from the North Beach of Miami out to the Golden Glades Transit Center, initially estimated to carry more than 7,500 passengers per hour and potentially scaling up to more than 15,000 per hour. The estimated cost of the project was between $185 and $220 million, and they think they can do it in less than 3 years with expedited permitting. Funding the project, as always, seems to be the main question right now, so North Beach Miami Commissioner Michael Joseph saying that they're trying to obtain funding for the loop, seeking finance from regional, state, and federal governments. We'll keep an eye out for any more updates on that, but that will wrap it up for today and for the week. Hope everybody has an amazing weekend. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you on Monday for the February 21st episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.